Well, good morning. I'm Associate Pastor Melissa Duell, and I am thrilled that you've joined us for worship this morning. As you may have heard last week, we started a new sermon series called Unstuff, and unstuffing our lives so that we can receive the gifts that God has for us. And so I thought this was pretty great. Last week, Pastor Gordon came home with this stocking. I just got a kick out of this stocking. And it says in there, I've been really good. I'm like, oh, yeah, you think so, huh? Right? Really? I mean, this is the funniest stocking I think I've ever seen. And to me, this was like the Mary Poppins of all stockings. So I thought I had to have a little fun. And I'm like, what can I possibly fit in here? So it's like, you know, Mary Poppins, she pulls out all this stuff. So I've got a Christmas tree, right? Got a Christmas tree that fit in to the stocking, and I got a scroll. Scripture was written on a scroll, so, you know, there's a scroll. And an angel, we have an angel in here. And, so sorry. Little box, you know, presents, gifts, all kinds of things that decorate Christmas. We've got a lovely scented candle, Christmas candle. I've got skates. Because, you know, you go skating at Christmas time. Got some skates. And then we've got my all-time favorite Christmas decoration, the Christmas lights. Oh, I love the Christmas lights. Anybody else love Christmas lights?
Yes.
This is my favorite part of Christmas decorations. Lights, you know, they just have a way of making this time of year feel warm and inviting. I mean, our nights are long and cold here in Minnesota, and the lights just make that warm. And if it were up to me, pardon me while I'm having microphone issues. There we go. Is that better? Okay. You can hear me anyway. Okay. If it were up to me, there would be white and blue lights everywhere until February 28th. I mean, I just feel like they just warm these long, cold nights that we have in Minnesota. And I just love the Christmas lights. Today we're talking about seeing past the lights. And I love to look at the Christmas decorations. In fact, there was one morning, I happened to be driving by, and it was early enough that the lights were still on, and this one yard was really well decorated, with just full of decorations that were all lit up. And I drove past, and I'm like, well, where's Jesus? Like, I couldn't find Jesus in this. And then, you know, I couldn't just leave that alone. I had to pontificate a little bit. So I was like, well, Melissa, do you really need to be so religious, pious all the time? I mean, can't you just have some decorations that are fun and that are lit up and that are red and green? And, you know, can't you just leave that alone and let it be pretty decorations? And I thought, yeah, I couldn't let that go. Like, no, if it doesn't have Jesus, you're missing Christmas. We're missing the whole point of Christmas, right? And I thought about this for a while. I'm like, people have been missing Christmas since the time of Christmas. I mean, even during the time of Christmas, people were missing what was going on. It wasn't this thing that was, like, proclaimed through all of Jerusalem. In fact, when you look at the pieces of the story and how they come together, we see it as a Christmas story, all the different pieces that we put into the manger scene, and we have this, you know, this beautiful story that comes together. But that's not how it happened. It happened in pieces, like a puzzle that eventually came together, and how we know the story now. But each of those pieces almost seemed to be done in secret, right? It wasn't this huge thing that was blasted. And at the time of Christmas, people were missing the fact that the Savior had come down to earth. And so we're going to be looking at how we, at Christmas, we tend to be longing for something more. We tend to be longing for something more. And I think there's kind of four things that we end up sort of missing at Christmas time, right? So some of us, we get lost in the crazy busy. Like, our lives are already crazy busy, full of things, and now we're going to add on a Christmas season, and I've got to have decorations, and I got to have a tree, and the tree has to be decorated, and I got to buy presents, and presents have to be wrapped, and I got to bake something. I don't even know if I want to bake something, and I have something special to bring to this, and it can feel overwhelming. So now I have crazy life, and on top of that, add another half, you know, 1.5 crazy lives, and it's like that. The stress alone can make us miss Christmas, right? Or Christmas
can be one of those really painful times of year. Maybe we've lost loved ones around this time of year, or we've experienced things and we know that we're going to go through these things without certain people, or we've just been dealing with something painful in our lives, and we try to like put it in the back of our brains for a minute, but try to sort of mask it with this Christmas season, and it doesn't always work, does it? And sometimes it makes us feel, it can just make us feel empty and lonely, and it looks like the decorations out there, all shiny and beautiful, but on the inside, we're hurting. And on the inside, we're missing something deeper. We're longing for something more. So, Christmas, it can be really painful. Or sometimes, it can just be, this is what I tend to do the most. I tend to love Christmas. I tend to have a lot of adrenaline around this time of year. I like doing the festivities. I want to do it all. And I get really into it. And I can get so focused on the fun that I lose sight of the purpose. And I get to December 26th, and I've got Christmas hangover. Everything that has kept me going for the last 25 days is over. And now what? And now, you know, this time that's felt so lit up is just dark. And that thing that I've been longing for all along hasn't been fulfilled because I spent the whole 25 days celebrating and I missed Christmas. And honestly, the last couple years, I just haven't quite had that excitement and that drive that I used to have. And I've been praying about this and I'm like, God, what is it about these couple years that I'm just not as excited as I used to be? I mean, I've got kids, I want to make it special for them, right? And as I was praying, God said, don't miss this Christmas. Amen. Come and take time to worship me. Amen. Come and take time to worship me. And as we look through the Christmas story, piece after piece, last week Pastor Gordon talked about the shepherds. And you look at the story of the shepherds, they worshiped Jesus. They get a message from the angels and they worshiped Jesus. And it describes in Luke how the shepherds come and they're talking mile a minute about what happened because they're so excited. They've experienced this thing. They didn't miss it. They got it. And then it says Mary pondered these things in her heart. Mary worshiped what God was doing in her midst. They worshiped. And today we're going to look at the angels. Today we're going to look at the angels. So I thank you, Brian, for reading in Luke 2. We're looking at verses 13 through 15. But for a moment, I want to back up and just mention that in verse 9, it says, suddenly an angel, okay, so there's one angel, an angel of the Lord appeared among them in radiance, and that angel has the message for the shepherds. And of course, I just always get a kick out of like, it always starts with, don't freak out, okay? Before you miss what I'm going to say, like first, don't be afraid because I'm here. But then the angel delivers the message. And then it goes on and it gives the message and the shepherds receive it. But in verse 13, that angel, one angel, is joined by a host of heaven's armies. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others. Vast host of ours, others. The armies of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. These are the people who looked beyond the shiny, who were looking for what they were longing for deep within, and they didn't miss Christmas. God is well pleased. They glorified God in the heavens. And when the angels returned to heaven, and then the shepherds said, let's go and see this thing that has happened in Bethlehem. But I want to point out this phrase, and it may be worded a little differently depending on the translation that you have, but in here it says, the armies of heaven. This gives us a really different picture of angels than sort of the sweet cherub faces that we kind of picture in our head sometimes. This is the army of heaven. These are the beings that God has as his messengers and work on our behalf. Now, It talks about the armies of heaven, or heaven's armies, 278 times within Scripture. Okay? 273 of those times are in the Old Testament. Huh. 273 of those times are in the Old Testament. There is one time, or, well, you know, there's five times that in the New Testament. I think most of them are in Revelation. But there is a time when we flip to Ephesians 6. Now, it's Christmas time. Can I go to a different section of Scripture that's not the Christmas story? That we're okay with that? Okay. So Ephesians 6, this is talking about the armor of God, if some of you are familiar with that section of Scripture. But Ephesians 6:12, we're talking about this realm. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of an unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. This heavenly army is coming from this realm. It's coming from this realm of the heavenly places. And I believe that when the angels came, this host of angels, and we don't know if it was hundreds or thousands, but we picture something vast. That's what it says. It says it was a vast host of heaven's armies. And I believe that the gates of hell were broken, and the presence of God came down to earth with this presence of these heavenly hosts. I believe it was ushered in with worship. God says, worship me this season. Worship the fact that I came as a person down to earth to live among you. The angels usher in the birth of Christ with worship. Mary, the shepherds, the wise men, all the pieces of the story come together and worship because God, a holy God, came down to earth to dwell among a broken people and to bring salvation and hope to a world that was hungry and searching and still is today. We're still longing for something more. We come to this Christmas season and we bring all these different human things with us, and we can go about the 25 days and we can miss it. And we can go on to next year, we can have Christmas again, and we can miss it again. Or we could come with hearts that are ready to receive this gift that God has for us, looking past the shiny decorations of the Christmas season, ready to receive what God has for us. And here's what I think. This is, you know, smarter theologians could argue this, that's fine. This is what I've found. I think part of the reason there's 273 mentions of the heavenly hosts in the Old Testament and five in the New Testament is because when Christ came down to us, he left us with the Holy Spirit. We no longer needed messengers to come and tell us what God was speaking to us. We have access to hear from God ourselves, to receive this ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that that is the gift that God brings to us. That's the gift that we can receive this Christmas. Take a moment. It's fun to do these things. That's fine. Enjoy them. Bring these traditions and these memories to your families and to your children. Celebrate. This time has been set apart for generations to celebrate a really big thing that happened here. But don't miss the gift that God has for us. Take the opportunity to worship and to acknowledge the fact that a holy God so loved us that he came to dwell among us, that he lived among us, and that he left us with the ability to feel and to live his power and his presence through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't get lost in the shiny this Christmas. Look past the lights. Look past the shiny and receive the light of lights. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So last week, at the end of the message, we were talking about, I gave you three action steps that I wanted you to do. And I don't know if anybody besides the one person who's going to share a story in a moment here remembers what they were. I don't even remember what I said from week to week sometimes. But I said, I want you to slow down. I want you to take some time to journal. And I want you to take some time to search for signs of God at work in the world. And where is it that you see God at work, and how you want to, how might you respond? And so this week I was talking to Liz Fields, and she started telling me a story. And so I'm going to invite her to come up and to share a little testimony of her experience this week as she slowed down, as she journaled and listened to God, and responded to signs of God at work.
Good morning. So I travel with my husband when he goes. He's an auditor for Pilot Flying J Travel Center. So while I'm sitting the trucker's lounge, I crochet to pass the time. And I was crocheting a scarf for a friend of mine who's Kelly. And so anyway, I'm sitting there, and this lady walks in, and she has a really bad gash, cuts on her face, and so I, you know, she talks to my dog, Rosie, and that's how it started. So she made quite a few phone calls while we were sitting there, and one of the phone calls was talking about how she was going into a treatment program in Fort Dodge. The second phone call was to an attorney saying, I know I'm supposed to show up to serve my time in jail for a DUI that I got, but I'm going into a treatment program. Well, I didn't want to pry, you know, so as we sat there, I heard a voice saying, pull that scarf out, pray over it, and give it to him. Well, I kind of, you know, that's just my head. You know, so I just ignored it. And there was another guy waiting for the bus, and he asked her, do you live in Fort Dodge? And she said, no, I was in a homeless shelter in Ames, and I am an alcoholic. And I'm going to a inpatient treatment center in Fort Dodge. And this is where I got this. I fell while I was drinking. And so he's like, oh, okay. So he quit talking to her. Anyway, and so I'm sitting there, and again, I hear, take that scarf out, pray over it, and give it to her. So I said, okay. This is the second time that I'm hearing this. So I pulled out the scarf that I had just finished for my friend, and I prayed over it, and I wrote her a little letter saying that being an alcoholic didn't define her. What defined her was who God said she was. Amen. And that he thought she was beautiful inside and out, no matter what she was going through. And that whenever she felt alone or afraid, to take that scarf and wrap it around her and right. Know that it had been prayed over, and that there were people out there that were thinking about her and praying for her. So at the very, when I gave it to her, she just started crying and hugged me and said, you are sent from God, or however she said it. And so we finally exchanged names, and her name was Kelly. So all this time that I was crocheting this scarf for my friend Kelly, it wasn't actually who I was crocheting for. God had a completely different plan for that scarf. And it just hit me that we do. We get so caught up in the lights and the decorations and the gifts and that we miss the most important thing, and that's keeping our ears and our eyes open, because God could be speaking to you, and don't ignore it, because you could be the very thing that's going to bring someone else to Him.